rare sporting genius. 3, he appeared to have no emotions. It seemed inhuman, yet the man I'd met a year earlier had been funny, self-effacing, tolerant. He had none of the born-to-rule jock energy of some other rugby players I'd met, so I knew there was a contradiction between his public image and the reality of his person. That's inevitably true of all prominent people to an extent, but I had a suspicion it was particularly true of Dan Carter. Adler asked that I send through a few features so that he and Kevin Chapman, the head of Upstart Press, could assess my suitability for the job. I did, and a couple of weeks later I heard back. They liked my work and could reveal that it was indeed Dan Carter they were scouting for. I was flattered, excited, and worried. I'd never written a book before, and had hoped that if I ever did, I would be able to do it in many years' time, once I had some clue how it was done. But an opportunity like this would likely never come along again, I reasoned. So why not take the meeting at least? I walked up the road from my home in Kingsland to a cafe near the top of Mount Eden Road. Typically, I underestimated how long the walk would take and arrived sweaty and a little dishevelled on an unseasonably hot day in October. I walked out the back and found Dean Hegan, Dan's agent, and Dan himself. The three of us talked for 40 minutes, generalities mostly, before Dean excused himself and left Dan to it. We spoke for a further